This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This is another podcast of Worldwide Wave, the international LGBT news and current affairs show, every week on Australia's first LGBT radio station, Joy 94.9.
Surfing the globe, bringing you news, views, and current affairs for the LGBT community. This is the Worldwide Wave.
This is Worldwide Wave, Joy's international news and current affairs show for and by the LGBTI community, taking you around the globe one queer story at a time. I'm Matt, and we're broadcasting once again from home at the moment, away from our brand new studios at the Victorian Pride Centre in St Kilda. But that won't stop us bringing you joy this latest lockdown. And tonight, I'm excited to be joined on the Worldwide Wave panel by Stefan.
Good evening.
And hello, Paul.
Hello. Palestine has been plagued with wars and conflict. Despite being recognised by the UN as a sovereign state, with its capital being Jerusalem, the entirety of the Palestinian territory has been occupied by Israel since 1967. Nothing is easy in this country. And when you are different to what this conservative society sees as acceptable, that challenge reaches a whole new level.
Yet, there is an openly queer voice leading the call for acceptance and change. Bashar Murad is a Palestinian singer, songwriter, and social activist based in East Jerusalem. His music talks about societal norms, the Israeli occupation, and LGBT plus rights in the Middle East. Murad's music is rooted in social activism, and he uses his music to overcome the pressure from growing up homosexual in an occupied territory. Here's the taste of what's coming up tonight.
There are two equal counterparts, but here it's an occupation of one people over the other. And so that affects everyone, including the queer community. And I think it's what Palestinians suffer from is the division that has been imposed by the occupation.
Receive LGBT news from around the world throughout the week. Like Worldwide Wave on Facebook now.
War and conflicts are synonymous with Palestine, having been occupied by Israel since 1967. Dominating daily life, there has been little room to even talk about the existence of LGBT people. In Palestine, Section 152 of the Penal Code in Gaza criminalizes male consensual same-sex sexual activity and makes it punishable by up to 10 years in prison. And in 2019, activities of queer and feminist rights organization Al-Kaz were banned by the police. Bashar Murad is a queer Palestinian singer, songwriter, and a social activist. Bashar started his career by uploading covers of popular songs to YouTube, and he has just released his debut EP. We asked Bashar to tell us about growing up feeling different in his occupied land. Can you tell us a little bit what it was like for you growing up feeling different, being gay in an occupied territory and conservative society?
Well, when you're born here in Palestine, you're automatically born into a system of occupation and oppression, and since the moment you are born, you know that you're less privileged than others in this country, which favors one people over the other. But then as I grew up, I started to realize that I was different, and I didn't know I was gay until much later, but I always had this feeling that there's something different. And so I felt like I had two different battles that I was fighting. One was fighting the occupation, and one was the battle of learning to love myself despite the fact that I didn't see any other role models who were queer in my community. But of course, everything is related to the occupation, goes back to the occupation. Even the fact that maybe queer topics that we haven't progressed enough on queer issues has a lot to do with the occupation, and the fact that when you're under occupation, it limits your ability to progress and your ability to move forward socially. So for me, it's like this constant battle, or like constant battles that I'm fighting.
How accepting are Palestinian families when it comes to sexuality?
It's hard to really answer that, because I don't like to make generalizations. But from my experience, there is a more, yes, conservative, general energy, let's say. But from my experience, you know, growing up, I never heard anyone talk about being gay or gays existing even in Palestine. But as I got older, it's about like this community thing where one person, if you meet another person who is gay, that will create like this community that will slowly get bigger and bigger. And so when I was younger, I thought I was the only gay Palestinian to exist. But then slowly, I started coming out to my friends and creating this community of like-minded people. And to me, that's what matters more than like making a blanket statement about everyone.
I was going to ask you, you're one of the first openly queer Palestinians. What difference would having an openly queer Palestinian made to you growing up?
Yeah, I mean, like I said, when I was younger, I was always looking for a role model or someone who I could relate to. And I couldn't really find that in Palestinian or Arab entertainment and culture. And so I always turned to Western pop culture and looked at people like Madonna and Lady Gaga and Freddie Mercury and all these big iconic legends. It would have made all the difference in the world, because I would have found out sooner that I can be myself. You know, I had to go through a lot to learn by myself that I could actually be who I am and live happily.
Bashar Murad, Palestinian singer, songwriter and social activist, speaking to us from East Jerusalem on Joy 94.9. I think it's really hard for us in Australia to get an understanding of Bashar's situation and where it's come from. The Palestinian-Israeli conflict, the whole issue has been going on for years and years. So every generation, as he said, every generation is born into occupation, born into oppression. They kind of know no different.
I think it's quite clear that it's not a conflict. And I think that's really important. It's an occupation. So, you know, in a conflict, the two parties are doing something, but this is completely overpowered by Israel and put in a different, in a system where they have no rights. And I think that's, as you said, this oppression is really day-to-day life. So it's not just war acts. It doesn't let you live your life, really.
It's quite clear that he is suffering under two battles, the occupation and then being different from the rest of society.
And the occupation is this overbearing issue that just prevents queer issues from even being talked about. And you can't even start change without people being willing to talk about there being an issue at all.
And it really shows the oppression, though, because in Israel, LGBTQ rights are there. And so it's within the same city that people are denied these things.
It's interesting that you're right, Stefan, that the progress that has been made in Israel as one of the most, more progressive, certainly the most progressive, I would say, in the Middle East, has had zero effect on Palestinians.
Well, I think it's just a testament to how oppressed they are and how the difference that is made between the two, between Israel and Israeli and Palestinian, and not recognized as people.
But you got on top of that, the fact that in Gaza, as we stated earlier,
it's actually still criminalized. So even on top of the occupation, you then got the legal system in Palestine, which doesn't support LGBTI people, in particular gay men.
And the differences in cultures as well. So there is this probably a more conservative Palestinian society, more conservative background, perhaps a different focus of religion as well. But he also points out that there's just no role models. And that was one of the challenges that he found, not seeing queer people in the community, in the media, that really is a blockage. You can't be what you can't see.
I think it was telling, you know, how he felt different, and when you feel different, then you don't have anybody to identify with, you know, to point out that you don't feel like other people, but you really feel alone, and you don't feel that this, you don't think there's anybody else that can be like you if you don't have these role models. So it makes it even more difficult.
I think he actually says he felt like he was the only gay in Palestine because he couldn't see anyone else like him.
And therefore you can't have a conversation with somebody and tell them, you know, it's very difficult to tell them how you're feeling and what you're experiencing. And this different, this additional layer of oppression, if you like.
It's amazing that he has been able to become one of the first openly gay Palestinian pop singer, really, with all the barriers.
But his reference point to, you know, what this gay singer thing was actually Western pop culture. That was, you know, what he was seeing in the West. He was able to sort of grasp some things to, you know, manage what he was feeling.
I mean, we've seen many times with stories from people across the world that having the visibility and actually getting people outside of the community to think of the community as individual people rather than a mass of people actually then moves the story forward, so people can actually think if they know somebody else who is a member of the LGBTI community within their circle, it does move the conversation forward, and having him as a role model is bound to should help the conversation in Palestine.
Indeed, he is becoming what he did not have himself. Coming up, not only do we bring you some of Bashar Murad's music, but Bashar tells us how he got into both music and activism. We're in Palestine tonight. You're listening to Worldwide Wave on Joy 94.9.
Hey there, beautiful people. My name is Ian Field Stewart. I use they, them, she, her pronouns. I'm the founder of the Okra Project, and I'm speaking to you on the Worldwide Wave Australia, Joy 949.
Bye.
Was our guest Bashar Murad's latest song Maskara, a song about Palestinian freedom.
And even though we are currently broadcasting outside the studios, you can still message us on Facebook. Search World Wide Wave or our little shortcut W, the number 3, Joy on Facebook. You can send us messages, and if you follow us, we'll also send you LGBT stories from across the globe right throughout the week.
At the time that Queen, the rock group, not the person, was at the top of the charts, the idea that Freddie Mercury was gay was seen as a scandal driven by the media. Today, LGBTI singers top the charts, like Ricky Martin, Ollie Alexander, and Australia's own Troye Sivan. Not only do they have a stage to raise issues and talk about their experience through their songs, but they also provide visibility for LGBTI people. Our guest tonight, Bashar Murad, did not have any queer role models to look to in his singing career. But in becoming Palestine's first openly queer singer, he has in fact become a role model himself. We asked Bashar how he first got into music and what he conveys through his music.
So I was really lucky because I was born into a musical family. My dad founded a group called Sabreen in 1980. Sabreen means patient ones. And it was a very iconic Palestinian band. It was one of the first alternative groups. And I was born into the peak of that band. So I was always just like my dad would always carry me with him to the studio or to the concerts or just like having artists and musicians around all the time. And so I was really lucky to have found a music as a tool for escape and for therapy and for self-exploration from a very young age. And so, yeah, that's how I started.
And there's a lot of social activism in your music as well, but what came first, the social activism or the singing?
No, I think the singing, always. But I guess singing, I mean, I don't like do it with a purpose of social activism. I just feel like it comes naturally. And singing was like this tool that helped me discover and explore myself. And that included like social issues that I explored about gender equality and marriage and stuff. And so it kind of automatically like came together. But singing, definitely. I was singing since I was like in my mom's room.
And why is it important to you to use your songs to raise issues and talk about these issues?
I think because it's hard. I mean, I live in Jerusalem and I experience firsthand what happens here. And then when I think of people in other places in Palestine who go through even more hardships than I do, first of all, it makes me feel guilty to just go out and sing just random pop songs about nothing. I feel like if I want to get my voice to be universally heard, I have to have this message that carries where I came from with me. Because I know how important it is. And I don't think pop, you know, just because I do pop, it doesn't mean that it's just going to be like mindless dance. I'll give you dance songs, but with a little bit of like brain work.
Yeah, that's a good way of putting it.
From East Jerusalem, that's singer and activist Bashar Murad with us on Joy 94.9. I love the fact that the name, he comes from a musical family, but the name of the band I think is very pertinent, The Patient Ones. I think if ever there is a culture, a country that has been patient, it has been Palestine.
He was lucky to actually, well, he admits it himself, is lucky to be actually born into a musical family. I think that's probably certainly helped him in his career going forward.
And I think they were very progressive at the time. There was one of the first bands in Palestine, so it's really kind of, and he continues of being the first openly gay, singer. So it's funny that happened.
And indeed, it was kind of an alternative band when they started it up. So it sort of probably gives a bit of an indication that his parents were more open to, you know, different views, and perhaps that might have helped him in acceptance side of things. Let's talk a little bit about being queer in Palestine. Again, it's very hard for us to imagine here, but, you know, just catching up with friends, if you wanted to catch up with your gay friends, having to plan it, having to go to a checkpoint and show papers and go through, you know, being questioned. Very hard.
It goes beyond that, because say one of the occupied areas is actually under blockade, so you can't even leave it.
So it's hard to be spontaneous, I guess.
Almost impossible.
I can't imagine it. I mean, really, it's a thing we see on TV, but unless you're living it, it's very difficult to imagine.
Really? You can't imagine it after going through five lockdowns?
No. Well, it's very different. I think it's very different. There's not somebody with, you know, a gun or a rifle at the end of my street that's stopping me and asking me for ID and profiling me based on my skin color. Yes, there've been some, you know, in the lockdown, there's been some, but nothing near that. I think it's just, I can't imagine, really.
And at least in lockdown, you know it's going to end and there's going to be some normality in your life. As much as, look, there's some good things that Bashar has sort of told us, the fact that the path he has taken, where singing has actually helped him to discover himself, is actually quite beautiful. And even in that, whilst it's sort of helped him grow himself, it's then also given him a platform to be able to explore some of the issues which are important to him, one of those being around his sexuality.
Songwriting and singers have long been part of the activism. You know, you think back to the Vietnam War and any issue that's come up, there will be songs about it.
And I think it's also raising the profile worldwide of this issue, and so it will be easier for probably some other queer Palestinian, but also maybe other issues in Palestine to be profiled on the world stage more by somebody who's passionate about doing that.
A passionate with a really nice mindset about it. I love that line about mindless dance songs, but with a little bit of brain work, you know. You're not getting out of it that easy just to sing along to your Kylie Bop. You're going to have to think about it a little bit.
Yeah, and yes. And I mean, it's going to be difficult for us because of the language to understand what he's saying. But yes, there is definitely the tune as we're showing tonight.
It's probably the perfect combination, is to get people to listen to it because it's got a good beat, but then actually have a message in the lyrics. So it's for people that speak Arabic, it hopefully will get them thinking about what's actually in the song, what he's singing about.
And we are posting a couple of his songs on our Facebook page tonight as well. So go to World Wide Wave or W3 Joy and you can see some of the film clips. And we're, of course, playing some of Bashar's music. Coming up on Joy 94.9, we hear how the Eurovision Song Contest in Tel Aviv in 2019 took Bashar to the world stage. This is World Wide Wave.
A special hello to everybody listening to us on podcast. You can subscribe to receive our podcast automatically either at joy.org.au/worldwidewave or on iTunes, Spotify, or your favorite podcast platform. And don't forget to leave us a review.
Eurovision is often controversial, politically divided, and has enormous following within the LGBTI community. That makes it a perfect match for the issues of Palestine and its LGBTI community. At the Eurovision Song Contest in 2019, which Israel was hosting, the Icelandic band Hatari waved Palestinian scarves when their scores were given out in the grand final, marking their solidarity visible to hundreds of millions of viewers. It was something that the band was passionate about, but what you may not know is that our guest tonight actually played a big part in what happened. Queer Palestinian singer-songwriter Bashar Murad tells his story and how the alternative event Global Vision came about.
In 2019, Eurovision in Israel took you to the world stage. Can you tell us a little bit what happened?
Well, yeah, it's a long story. There's actually a documentary called A Song Called Hate that is touring right now that details the whole story. But basically, I was introduced to Hatari, which is an Icelandic band that was participating in 2019. And they were participating to make a statement against the Israeli occupation. And so when I found that out, we got in touch before the Eurovision happened and we started chatting. We did a song together. They came here for Eurovision. I took them on an alternative Eurovision tour, the one that Eurovision is not going to show you. I showed them the other face of Israel, the face of the occupation, of apartheid, of checkpoints and soldiers everywhere and inequality. And I think what they saw was enough for them to feel full conviction to eventually raise the flag of Palestine in the final of Eurovision, which created a huge online mess for Eurovision, but a great way of showing solidarity and popping the Eurovision bubble that wants to be apolitical, which is impossible when it's being held in Israel. It just doesn't work. Or just apolitical doesn't work for me, because I think everything is political.
And thank you. You've also done some work with the United Nations, I think. Mm-hmm. Can you tell us a little bit about that as well?
Yeah, so that was one of my first projects in Arabic, and it was a song called I Am a Man, Ana Zalamit. And it was basically taking like the stereotypes of what it means to be a man, the patriarchal ideas that we grow up learning and just repeating without questioning them. And so the lyrics say, I'm a man, I do what I want, don't try to convince me otherwise, I go out, my sisters don't, and all these other things that we're just used to saying in our daily conversations. And so I created this music video in collaboration with UN Women. And it was really one of the first projects where I felt like I was being heard, especially by the people in my hometown.
Now, I wanted to go back a little bit on the conflict. I mean, there's a long history of conflict between Palestinian and Israelis, as you said. How does this impact the queer community? I mean, do queer Israeli and Palestinian get on well together? Can you tell us about that?
Yeah. Well, first, I just need to say that it's not a conflict, because a conflict implies that like there are two equal counterparts, but here it's an occupation of one people over the other. And so that affects everyone, including the queer community. And I think it's what Palestinians suffer from is the division that has been imposed by the occupation, including the queer community. So here I'm in Jerusalem. I'm separated by checkpoints with my friends in Ramallah, which is a 10-minute drive, but with a checkpoint, it could be an hour. I can't go to Gaza because there's a siege, and people in Gaza can't come back. So for the queer community and all Palestinians, it is hard for us to find spaces where we can meet together and where we can create these communities. Everyone is like functioning on their own in these little islands, and it's very sad because, like, I believe in the power of numbers and the power of coming together. And that's what Israel doesn't want us to do. It wants to separate us and just put us all into, like, these different places. And it just hinders us from moving forward and reaching the fullest potential. And yeah, so for me, I mean, I don't, like, most of my friends and, like, the queer community I have is virtual. They're all online. People that I've met on Instagram, whether they're here or whether they're in the diaspora. And I just can't imagine how much could be done if we all came together in one space.
So there's no physical space where you can meet with?
There are. I mean, it's very complicated. Like, there are places in each, like in Ramallah, there are places where you can go and, like, you know, you'll find the queer community there, or in Haifa. But it's just really hard for us all to get together because of, like, these divisions and separations.
If you were to dream, and what would be your hope for the queer Palestinians in the future?
I want liberation for everyone, like, and queer Palestinians, of course. And I want it to not be surprising when we hear the term queer Palestinian, because queer people exist everywhere and have existed forever. And so yeah, I want it. I want, like, just our existence not to be questioned on a daily basis, whether it's queer or whether it's Palestinian. And I want it to not be surprising when you read a headline of queer Palestinian. Yeah, queer Palestinian.
Because they exist, so you don't want that to
be. Yeah. But I understand why it's important, and because we don't see these stories a lot about the Arab world in general. We're only just used to seeing stories of, like, sadness, or, like, that's usually when the rest of the world wants to talk about us. It's when there is a disaster or when they want to make us like seem like barbaric, or like to feed into the stereotypes of the world. And this is why I appreciate that you're sharing your platform.
Bashar Murad, a queer Palestinian singer talking to us at Worldwide Wave. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
A great story from a great talent. The Alternative Jerusalem tour, it has really obviously brought the issues home to the Icelandic band and, you know, really inspired them a lot.
Yeah, because I'm sure the official Eurovision wouldn't actually have sent them anywhere near Palestine. I'm just guessing here. Off the top of my head.
I think that's best kept hidden, I think, for the international audiences.
And certainly for the Israeli broadcasters.
I have to say, I did laugh out loud when he was sort of talking about Eurovision is meant to be apolitical and therefore the flags weren't allowed. I think Eurovision is just about the most political thing in the world, the way people vote.
The way people vote, yes, but the actual competition itself is supposed to be apolitical. It's not supposed to have anything that's overly political, and hence why Belarus was knocked out this year, was disqualified in this year's competition. I actually remember there was a lot of booing and whistling when they actually showed the band with their scarves. And there was a report.
It was to an Israeli audience, wasn't it?
Yes. Well, an international audience, because don't remember at that time we could actually travel.
Oh.
I'd forgotten.
Yes. So it wasn't a purely Israeli, it was mainly Israeli audience, but it wasn't a purely Israeli one. But I remember an article afterwards where one of the female members of the band said she was actually terrified going back to the hotel after the receptions that they'd had after showing those scarves. She wasn't sure they were going to be safe.
One of the other things I thought was interesting was just that lack of space for queer people to meet. So without being able to meet like-minded people, you can't create community. And there are all these barriers,
in place, whether it's a physical one of a checkpoint or you know, other barriers across society that keep queer people separated so they can't form any sort of community.
It seems to be that the stereotypes that he talks about in the last bit, that doesn't help, the male stereotype, that if you don't fit the stereotype, which I'm assuming applies both to male and female, you're going to be ostracized by society.
And the pathway forward, Bashar seems to indicate that the bigger issues need to be dealt with first, liberation first, and that might allow some room for queer liberation beyond that. That means it's a very long path.
It sounds like a very long road ahead.
But I do like his measure of success, where a queer Palestinian shouldn't raise an eyebrow. It should not be something that's unusual.
Mm, yeah,
exactly. And we have faith that Bashar Murad will blaze a trail for queer Palestinians.
This is Dede Utomo from Kaya Nusantara in Surabaya, Indonesia, speaking on World Wide Way. Maya, Maya. دايما خايف من حالي خايف من كل اختلافاتي بنادي وبنادي ما وصلت الرسالة لحالي بحكي مع خيالي حبي غير قانوني حبي غير قانوني حبي جاب لي جنوني تقدر تاخد كل وعي هددني رفض ايدي احرمني من اسمي وحقي ارفضني ما بتغيرني كنت دايما تشوش لي افكاري صوتك عاش في راسي ماشي إذا بتنساني انساني صوتي بعيش بالأغاني حبي غير قانوني حبي غير قانوني حبي جاب لي جنوني حبي غير قانوني حبي غير قانوني حبي جاب لي جنوني اسمي وحقي ارفضني ما بتغيرني تقدر تاخد كل وعي هددني ربط ايدي يحرمني من اسمي وحقي ارفضني ما بتغير ما بتغيرني قصولي جناحي وما زبط اني اطلع من القفص أنا عصفور حبس حبي غير قانوني حبي غير قانوني حبي جاب لي جنوني تقدر تاخد كل أغراضي حاول امحيني عالفاضي تركني بحالي أنا راضي ما بتغيرني اسمي وحقي ارفضني ما بتغير ما بتغيرني
on World Wide Wave on Joy 94.9, and that was Bashar Murad with Ma Bit Gay Rani, I Am a Man, the song that Bashar composed when he worked with the UN to make gender equality at the forefront.
This Joy program has a podcast, and you can subscribe to it at joy.org.au.
A huge thank you tonight to singer, songwriter and activist Bashar Murad. You can download or stream his music on all the major music platforms, and you can follow him on Instagram at Bashar Murad Official.
Also, a big thank you to everyone that interacted with us or joined us on Facebook. That's Hope, Betty, Richard, Celine, Selena, and a heap more. Now, we're very easy to find on Facebook. That's just W3, Joy.
And we have a fabulous team behind us. A big thank you to Peter, our podcaster, and Dean, our social media master.
Thanks for listening to another podcast from World Wide Wave, the show that takes you around the globe one country at a time. World Wide Wave is the international news and current affairs show on Australia's LGBT radio station, Joy 94.9. You can listen live every Tuesday night from 7pm Eastern Australian Time on 94.9 FM in Melbourne and online at joy.org.au. You'll find all our podcasts at joy.org.au/worldwidewave or follow us on Facebook for the latest international LGBT news. Search W3 Joy on Facebook now.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.